I always wanted to be a writer ever since I was in elementary school. I knew in the fourth grade I was going to grow up to be an author, but I never imagined I would draw pictures with my stories. If I'd known that, I would have taken a lot more art classes.
So where do you get your inspiration from?
It always begins in the library. Whenever mm-hmm. I set out to write a certain type of story, I go to the library and try to read as many books as I can, like the one I'm writing. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly comparing myself to what the other writers have already written.
Now, we have your book, Seahorse Run. How much time did it take for you to write and illustrate and research and do everything that you did for this book?
To do everything that I did for the book, the hardest part, usually it takes on average about a year for mm-hmm. me to do a picture book. This book was the most challenging of any book I've ever done because it took about 5 years just to get the idea just right. And I was working on other stories in the meantime, but mm-hmm. as I was working on it, I would come up with an idea and I'd go to the library, there would already be a book like that. And so I'd change my idea again. And I kept doing this over and over and over again. But once I finally got the idea, mm-hmm. that first draft, from that point, it was exactly a year to write and illustrate. And that was working almost every day, at least every other day, for sure.
You've written 3 books, co-authored one with your husband, Matthew Bronson. Mm-hmm. 3 are based on nature. Are you drawn to nature, or do you think children should be more involved since they stay inside most of the time?
I do. I love books for children that have animals as mm-hmm. the heroes and main characters. I think every child, no matter where you live, you can relate to an animal story. Even adults relate really well to animal stories. But I noticed there are plenty of books in the library about dogs and cats and bears, really fuzzy animals. So I wanted to use underused animals like small slimy creatures like a snail or a frog, mm-hmm. and then a seahorse fit right in with that.
Now, how do you make it so concise? Because there's, you know, you have to use the right words that get the message across to children, mm-hmm. but you still need to keep the story going?
Absolutely. Word choice is a real challenge for kids, and I end up, it never comes out right the first time. I do a lot of rewrites. For this story, it took 19 rewrites.
Wow.
Now, some of those were just minor word choice revisions, mm-hmm. but about 5 of those revisions were what I call a global rewrite, where you begin writing the story and then you go back and realize, no, this isn't what the story is about. Start over with the first word and begin again. And so about 5 global rewrites, and the others were just a lot of changing of word choices and taking out sentences. And I figure out how to do that by testing the story constantly on mm-hmm. other people to see, do you think this word, would a first grader understand this word? And so I test it on librarians and teachers and even kids to make sure I'm getting it right.
That must be frustrating, 19 rewrites.
It can be frustrating. And the drawing is the same way. I will draw and redraw. It can be frustrating at times. But if I get too frustrated, I just realize, well, I just need to take a break and come back to it. It's just it's an essential part of the process. And you want to create a story that people will relate to and understand and like. You want them to like it enough, they're going to recommend it to a friend. And to really accomplish that, you have to work through that frustrating part of, oh, this isn't right yet. I still need to do it again.
Now, you travel a lot, speak with children in elementary schools. How do you engage children in your talks and in your books? Is that a process?
Yeah, ultimately I just try to create a story that will draw the kids in. And this story, I took some clues and tips from kids that I've met over the years. A lot of times kids will say, well, you should do a story about a shark. You should do a story about an eel or an octopus. And then a lot of the boys wanted a dragon story. And so I managed to accomplish all of that in this one book. The seahorse is the hero or main character, but there is a shark, an eel, an octopus, and ultimately a dragon.
What do you want children to take away from your books then?
I want them to be inspired. I want their imagination to run crazy. I want them to go away from it feeling excited and then wanting to come back to it and revisit mm-hmm. it. I want them to feel so excited by the story that they want to revisit it. And I hope that I pack so much into the book that every time they revisit it, they learn something a little different, something they see something new that they didn't see before. And so I'm really excited about this book. One of the questions that kids always ask me over the years, they've always asked, have you won any awards? Mm-hmm. And I've always said, no, I haven't won any awards. But now, for the first time, I have won an award, the Next Generation Indie Book Award, and it was for Best Children's Picture Book. And the award it's been compared it is to independent books what Sundance is to independent film. So, and there's a lot of different categories mm-hmm. that people enter, and it's for all small, medium presses. If the book is independently published, you can enter. And so they get entries from around the world. And the picture book category is pretty popular, so I never thought I would win. My greatest hope was to be one of the finalists, but...
Well, that's wonderful. So would you like to read your favorite part from Seahorse Run?
That would be fun. I would love to. I think I'll read the beginning.
Okay.
Far across the ocean, a reef kissed the surface of the water. Coral covered the reef, and coral was alive. Coral loved to sing, but the only animal that could hear her song was Seahorse. Seahorse could swim, but coral could not. Coral was rooted in the rock. When the current was strong, Seahorse clung to coral with his tail. When coral was red, Seahorse looked red. When coral was yellow, Seahorse turned yellow. When Seahorse was not with coral, he was blue like the sea. I love the beginning. It has sort of a fairy tale quality to it.
Correct.
And it really draws you into the story. And then we start to meet the big scary animals, like the shark and the octopus. And each one has something to tell Seahorse. For example, Shark says, "A sea dragon is coming. Sea dragons are fearsome, terrible beasts. They have 10 rows of teeth that chomp sharks into bits. Seahorse, run." An eel has another tale to tell. "A dragon's jaws can snap a whale in two. Sea dragon gobbles sharks for dinner and slurps eels for dessert. He will eat you too. Seahorse, run." At the back, I have these wonderful facts about the real animals. There's a whole page about seahorses, what do they eat, how do they move. And then there's another page all about the sea dragons, the three types of sea dragons, actually, the leafy, weedy, and ribbon sea dragon. But the children's favorite part of the book, I think, is that after that, there's a panorama here of animals of the Australian coral reef. And so it has every animal that I put in the book. And each one is labeled. And the kids love to go through and back through the book and pick out the animals that are labeled in this picture.
Tell us something about your book signing that's coming up.
I have a book signing at Barnes & Noble, Saturday, July 9th at 3 o'clock. And then I'll be at Nightbird Books the first Saturday in August at 1:30 for an informal gathering. So
thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you, Edie. It was a pleasure.